Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We would like to welcome you and thank you for joining us for another Theologically Speaking with Jose
and Daniel
Dorsey. We are the Dorseys, and it's just an honor, privilege, and pleasure to be able to serve in this capacity and ministry. We like to start every show by just thanking you for your contribution, whether it's of your time or your finances or just your love and support means so much to us. We greatly appreciate it. And so with that being said, as we go forward, not only do we thank you, but we'd like to just send a special shout out to our executive producer, Brother James Brown, for allowing us to share in this worldwide platform. And before we go any further, we always like to invoke the blessings of deity before any serious undertaking. Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to share your word. We pray that our heart, minds, and souls are here to help other people to heal in their quest for forgiveness. Lord, as we touch on this subject for the fourth and final time, we pray that we clear some things up for individuals and help them along the way for the stuff that they are struggling to forgive people for. Now, as we go further in this show, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for another chance to speak to all that we are able to reach, and we hope that those who need to hear this story are able to tune in. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. You know, the whole time that you were doing that prayer, I was holding in that cough.
That's a whole prayer with a cough.
I didn't want to mess up your whole prayer. I wanted to make sure that one got through.
But you know, when somebody cough in church, you don't stop praying. You pray with the cough in the background.
You pray with the cough in the background.
I wasn't coughing.
What do you be distracted because of the cough in the background?
I don't be distracted. You be distracted in church when people cough.
Can we get back to this serious
you
topic?
You started it.
I started it. Jesus. Listen, y'all. We're back. We dedicated to one another that we would be ourselves with this show, just be raw, real people, because that's how our fan base loves us. You know, we have so many people tell us how we're their favorite couple, or they love us, or black love, and all of this stuff. And so we encourage each and every person to live out their best truth, being yourself. And so, you know, I'm married to my best friend, so I can honestly, you know, have these moments to be myself and share them with the world. What? Ain't nothing like it. And so in living our best truths, one of the things that we think that people ought to be cognizant of is this forgiveness piece. You see how I did that there? I'm transitioning to the serious part.
I think, I don't know if it was one show or two shows, I recall you saying that if there was one person you knew that struggled most with forgiveness, it's me.
Which is why I am glad you are an honored guest. You are a guest as well as the co-host on this show today.
I don't understand how you can do both.
Huh? Easy, because we're gonna talk today. So we're continually talking about
forgiveness
and the process of forgiving,
mm-hmm.
and it's so serious, it's so severe that we decided to go all the way up to part four. The reason for that is because I really think that people need to have repetition regarding this subject so that we can drive that nail home on how much you can just really cut off your own blessings because of your lack of forgiveness. When I look around the different generations, one thing I find is that it's so hard for us to evangelize because of a generational lack of forgiveness. Now watch this. You ain't even know I was about to talk about this. It just kind of hit me. It's hot, as we like preachers like to say, hot off the Holy Ghost press. But it's like, you never heard that one? Yeah, the Holy Ghost just gave it to me.
Yeah.
Okay, I will continue. So the thing is, being really serious though, it's a lack of forgiveness that's become generational. And so it's like we look at different people do different things, especially like our parents or people from the generations above us, and we'll see that they had it really bad with saying, you know, do as I say, not as I do. So you want me to live a principle that you show that you won't even live out yourself. And so it's the same thing when you get to church. Get to church, what we shouldn't do. We shouldn't lie. We shouldn't cheat. We shouldn't steal. We shouldn't kill. And then we have all of these different principles that the Bible teaches us, but we have a do as I say, do as not as I do kind of principle that's being set before us. So it's like it's hard to reconcile that, and then that's passed down from generation to generation, and then we wonder why it's harder and harder to evangelize. It's because we can't forgive or forget the fact that you taught us something that you wasn't really willing and able to apply yourself. And even talk about like church hurt. So many people have church hurt stories where they went to a church. They sat in the services, and maybe the preacher preached good, I don't know, but, you know, at some point they felt unwelcomed or unloved, unwanted, because people talked about them or people made them feel less than welcome. They felt judged. Come on, you had the point that you was about to say.
Because you actually said it. You said the preacher preached good. Most of the time, it's not the pastor that's at fault for the person being church hurt. And most of the time, it has to do with the congregation. I got several different examples that I could give about how I walked into a church, and it was something that happened inside of that church that could have led to church hurt, but I chose to pinpoint that church as the problem and not the religion or Christianity as a problem. But a lot of people don't have that type of strength, or they don't have that type of open-mindedness. So when they see that, they start thinking, well, all churches are judgmental. All churches got problems. All churches. And so they say, well, why should I go to church when it's worse than out here? And they spread that quicker than when we're trying to evangelize Christ.
Exactly. So listen, I like the fact that you said that, because that ties back into this unforgiveness piece.
Mm-hmm.
Because now that I've been church hurt, I don't forget that, and I definitely can't forgive it.
Mm-hmm.
So now not only will I not return to church, because I in my heart got a good reason not to go to church,
mm-hmm.
but I'm also, like you said, going to continue to evangelize and essentially allow people to actually share in my pain, and that would sometimes keep other people from going to church too.
Mm-hmm.
So because of this unforgiveness that's been handed down from generation to generation, we find that it's harder actually to evangelize. Unforgiveness is lack of forgiveness is a very, very serious thing. I always say it's like a cancer. I want to share this with you. So today's show is intended to be like an anthology and a testimonial.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to actually share a couple things, and if you feel like you can share a couple things too. But I'm a bounty hunter and a private investigator, and it's been going really, really well, folks. Like, God has really been blessing me in this endeavor, and I've been so blessed that I've been able to use my skills to actually help people, to minister to people that I actually catch on the streets, to help them get their lives together. But I encountered a gentleman that I arrested, and he was so furious with his family. Now, here he professed to be a Christian. He claimed he believed in God, but he was spewing that he hated his family because they didn't love him, and he said that they hadn't been there with him or for him since he was 12 years old. And so the man was 34 now. So at 34 years old, it's been like, what is that? 22. So I'm trying to do the math.
Okay, this show is
22,
about forgiveness, not about math.
Not math.
We're not doing
it's
that.
22
okay,
years.
Okay, look.
It's 22 years. It's been a long time. So after 22, this man been holding on to this spiritual cancer. And yes, lack of forgiveness is a spiritual cancer. I say that because not only
in the spiritual game.
It's a physical one too. Yeah. But not only the reason why I say that is because it's something that actually divides us from the word and the will of God. If clearly in God's word it teaches us to forgive if we want to be forgiven. Then also it's a physical cancer because you'll find that hate
and your
that
harvest
anger
more than the person who you think owes you the forgiveness. And you notice that I said think owes you because they're probably not even aware that there's something that they did to you that needs to be forgiven.
The apology is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Okay. And so what happens is you're holding all of this in. You're holding this grudge. You're holding all this bitterness in, and it starts to affect you more than what probably caused the other person to need forgiveness.
My people, my black people, I can say that I know that there's a few psychologists that were actually looking at this study. You might want to look it up. The correlation between people that hold on to like anger, hate, unforgiveness, and sickness, and you'll find that they're very close related.
Mm-hmm.
Why they're closely related? Because, like I said, it's not only a spiritual cancer, but it's a physical one. This man that I'm telling you about, that I'm telling his story right now, he had so many ailments. It was crazy. You know, I couldn't hardly touch him or put the handcuffs on him or it was hard for us to actually get him to the place where he needed to be because he had so many sicknesses on the inside. He was diabetic and, you know, he said he had bleeding on the brain and this guy had more gray hair than I did. He's had like almost a face full of gray hair and a head full of gray hair, receding hairline, and it was like he just looked really bad. He had really those dark circles under his eyes. His health condition was highly depleted. And I believe it's because of that cancer on the inside, all of those years of anger and hatred.
And let's remind them that he was only 34 years old.
Only 34 years old. So when we were talking, we were having a conversation. I don't know if I shared this part with you from yesterday. We was having a conversation, and I happened to share with him how old I am. So I told him, I'm 43. I'm like 9 years older than this guy. And he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. He thought I was much younger than him. He thought I was like maybe like 28 or something like that. So it was crazy to actually see us walking side by side because this guy looked like he can be an older brother or uncle or something like that.
And
he's
I
only
think
34.
One of the reasons that what people don't understand is because you don't look younger because nothing happened to you like you didn't that like you lived a wonderful, beautiful, all thing perfect life. You were able to take all of the things that happened to you and let them go. And because you didn't carry that weight with you, it didn't age you. And that's
amen. And see, when we trust God, when you flip over into the book of Malachi, we find a scripture that says, will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? Wherein you say, have you robbed me in tithe and offering? Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts. I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there won't be room enough to receive. We quote that, but we even miss the next scripture that come out that comes after that, which teaches us that God is saying that, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, I want to bring that to New Testament terms because we try to use that scripture to shame people into giving us their money. But the reality is God was actually trying to impress upon the minds of the believer to trust him. He said, listen, I gave you a promise. If you just trust and believe in that promise, then understand that I'm going to fulfill all of the things that I promised you. And one of the things that I can still hear echoing in my spirit is that next scripture where he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Age and time is a devourer of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you age through time, you eventually get closer to death. That's exactly right. And you will find that people who actually live their lives trusting more in God, you will find that they it's different statistics that show that people who believe they come out with a higher outcome from surgeries than people who don't. People who believe they have a higher a prognosis or a higher possibility of coming out of depression than people who don't. And I'm talking about people who seriously believe. I'm not talking about your what would Jesus do on your bumper sticker kind of Christian, like all across Facebook, you praising God and cussing at the same time. I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about.
Now, wait a minute.
Ain't no wait a minute.
Yes, it is.
No, it ain't no wait a minute.
It depends on the cussing. What I believe you mean to say.
What
is,
in the East Side Detroit are you talking about?
I believe what you mean to say is that they're praising God and then they're bashing people or they're spreading some sort of negativity right below it.
Through cussing. So anyway,
yeah, but it wasn't specifically the cussing. It was how they were expressing it. Yeah.
You made me forget my whole next point.
I'm sorry. You okay now?
Yeah. So the thing is, I got to pick up a move. So we have this bitterness, this anger in our hearts. It just tends to like really corrode us, from the inside. But when we are able to trust and believe God, and we stand on that faith, then what you'll find is His promises are true, such as He'll rebuke the devourer. Man, so many people tell me like, man, you know, you look like you. I got all this gray hair. In my beard, yeah, I'm.
You're sexy, though.
Oh man, quit. We on the air. So anyway, it's like, you know, all this gray in my beard, all this gray in my hair now, and it's not a lot, but it's some. People still say, man, you look like you like 30,
because
32.
It looks professionally dyed.
It looks professional.
I told you. That.
You said that before.
I did.
Don't be being mushy on the air. So, but I believe that happens because God is rebuking that devourer for my sake. I'm going to give you I said this would be kind of like a testimonial and an anthology, and Danny, you can give anything that you want to give, but I'm going to tell a story about how I carry a lot of unforgiveness in my heart. I'm not even going to deal with the prior marriage, so you thought I was going to talk about that, but I'm not.
No, I didn't.
What I am going to talk about, though, is I had this, when I was a little kid, I haven't told this story publicly ever before, but there was a homosexual man that approached me on a playground that tried to molest me. And so, needless to say, it didn't happen. I ran, but in my heart, I had anguish towards all homosexual men. Like deep anguish. Like I can almost say it was a hatred that I had, and it brewed inside of me for a long time. And it took over 20 years later, actually befriend. Well, not quite 20 years, maybe about 15. 15 years later, I befriended a homosexual man that worked in a retail store. Actually, it's more than that.
Just we not
gonna
don't dwell on it.
Ooh, Jesus.
No.
I'm 43.
Get to some,
so it's like 25 years. Jeez, y'all pray for me. It was 25 years ago. I'm talking like I'm 30. But anyway, yeah, hey, watch your mouth on air. So the thing is, I carried this. Can I tell my story? Wait, somebody text her, tell her to stop while telling my story. So so I had an anguish in my heart towards homosexuals, and it was like a very deep, profound hatred. And it took like so many years later in order for me to befriend somebody to understand that everybody isn't the image of the person that actually tried to hurt me. And so, you know, and it also bothered me for so long because that man never came and apologized to me. I always felt like maybe he got away with it. Nobody ever knew what he tried to do to me. And see, the reality is when it comes to forgiveness, none of that stuff even matters. This man had me bound to him for over 25 years. 25 years of bondage. Actually, it was longer than that. It was over 30 something years. Anyway, so all those years in bondage, I was to that man because I could not forgive him. But it was when I actually learned to forgive him that I was able to move beyond homophobia. I was able to begin to deal with people beyond their vex in life. Homosexuality, from a spiritual context, if you look at it biblically, is a spiritual vex because it goes against what God says in His Word. So when we look at it from that perspective, then understand that, you know, I was able to look at people through Jesus' eyes. Yes, you're homosexual. God does not like the sin, but he still loves the sinner. He don't love that the sinner sins, but he loves the person that's afflicted with sin, regardless of the sin they're afflicted with.
Yes.
So I was able to move beyond that, open up my mind, open up my heart, and still actually, like, let that guy go that tried to hurt me. I was able to forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
And then in forgiving him, I was also able to love people on a different level and actually accept them, even though their ideologies, their practices was different from mine.
Mm-hmm. Well,
this is what I would like. This is what I really would like. We got a few minutes. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I would like for you to share, like, you know, about your difficulties that you've had in forgiving, because we shared that openly on the air that it's something that you still struggle with. Every Christian is not going to be proficient in every area, but if you can kind of touch on that before we get ready to go to kind of like shed light.
I think I shared this before, but I'll share it again. My problem with the whole concept of forgiveness is I feel like people get away with things that they do to you. And because I don't see the consequences or karma from them doing stuff to me, I have trouble thinking, like, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. And then that gets in the way of my forgiveness. However, something happened yesterday, and, like, it caused a lot of anger inside of me. And I think it actually taught me something. And I don't know how it taught me this because they don't seem related, but I do choose to say this now. For those that I feel have done me wrong, I forgive you. If you're listening to this and you don't think you did me wrong, I really don't care anymore. I choose to let it go now because I'm in a better place, and because I feel like I'm in a better place, and because I feel like there's nothing I can do that can control that situation, holding on to that unforgiveness is hurting no one else but myself. And because I know that it's hurting only me, it's something that I choose to let go, because that's the only way I'm even going to begin to heal, because I choose to say it doesn't matter anymore. The things that was done to me, they were done to me. Key word in that sentence is done. It's not being done. It's not present.
That's good.
And so why am I holding on to this past? And if that person...
Why you being a slave to them for what they done in the past to you.
Exactly.
Got it.
And so currently what I choose to say, if they don't get any consequences for the way they treated me, and Hosea tell you what happened yesterday, he kept saying, like, you didn't deserve that. You didn't deserve that. And I know I don't deserve it, so why am I holding on to it? If they don't see the consequences or they don't have any consequences for their actions, what that have to do with me? What they got to do with my life? It should not stop what I have to do with my life and the goals that he and I have that we're working towards. We
and
have
purpose,
way too much
and
on
the
our
purpose,
plate.
And the purpose that God has put upon, assigned to your life. Because a lot of people will miss pursuing their purpose.
Because they're stuck
trying
to figure out how to get revenge.
And I think that's one of the enemy's really great effective
obstacles.
tools to kind of defray you or to slow you down or otherwise delay you from your destiny.
And the reason I use slow me down instead of defray, because we are still going to get where we need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And as Jose said earlier in this show, he's a bail bondsman and a private investigator.
Bounty hunter.
I'm sorry. You working with bail bondsmen, and it's kind of like, because I've been hearing you talk to them all day, so I'm starting. It's all blurring together. But the reason I'm saying that is our lives are picking up in a good way. So why it doesn't even make sense anymore to dwell on what happened yesterday when we got so much to look forward to today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We got degrees that we need. We are in
degrees.
We are on the last leg.
It's the last. Oh my God.
Like, we have met our committees. We are writing our we are in the writing stage of our dissertations. What does that mean? That means as soon as we get done with writing this long paper, and it gets approved, we are done. We are done. They will call us doctor, and then we will walk across the stage together. And be announced as doctors. All of these wonderful things in my life, and I know you can find a silver lining in anything. I'm talking to those out here who are trying to hold on to that unforgiveness or want to do what I used to do. Why isn't this person getting repercussions for what they did to me? Why are they still walking around here? They shouldn't even be able to smile. Why are they able to spread their lies? Why are they doing stuff in their life that don't have anything to do with what's going on in my life
right now, baby.
And so I don't have to, why am I dwelling on something that literally does not cross my path? I talked to Jose about seven. If anybody know, please let me know which one of us is right. This is a debate between us. He says 6 degrees of separation. I say 7. Which one is it, people? But anyways.
Oh, my goodness.
The people that have done something to me don't even cross my path anymore. Let me say that again. They're living a life that is so far removed from my life that we don't even touch each other's lives. But
not
yet,
on social media.
Not on social media.
Not accidentally in public nowhere.
Ran into them.
Nobody even they know.
Right. Like, not even their family don't touch. I mean, like, you would think that in they say it gets smaller and smaller, but I have yet to, like you said, run into somebody who even know.
Exactly.
But yet, here I am still thinking about it and wondering why. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is, who cares if they get it? Is it stopping you from doing what you need to do on a daily basis?
Mm.
Is the things that they did to you, did it? I mean, it may have taught you, should teach you a lesson, not hinder you to go forward. That lesson should propel you to go forward. And Jose also said one of the best things you can do is live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of that. And that is the best thing that you can do, instead of dwelling on what someone did and is not even affecting you right now. That's the thing that I take away from this the most. It doesn't affect me at all.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, those attacks helped create the wonderful life that you and I have now. So I am very grateful for all that you and I had to go through to prepare us for where we are now.
Let me wrap.
And in that,
mm-hmm.
I forgive them because they helped shape us to be the wonderful, wonderful couple that we are right now.
That is amazing. Thank you for sharing that. And I feel that in my heart.
And I've been beating on this. I'm sorry, Dash, for
So let me wrap this up really quick. It takes faith to be able to forgive, because when you forgive, you have to trust that the righteous judge God is going to actually deal with a situation. And truthfully, I want to tell anybody out there, people don't get away with nothing, because you can never hide from God, and he always will deal with that.
We can't
really go around hating people or being angry for anything of the past. It doesn't affect us now, especially when it doesn't affect us now. And you should work to try not to let it affect you now. Truly letting go, your final stage of truly letting go is being able to say, thank you. You know what? Thank you, because mm-hmm. truthfully, you are part of what blessed me to be right where I am right now. I wouldn't change that for anything in the world. And then you just go for it, let go, and let God. Listen, thank you so much for joining us and with this forgiveness piece, forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
and the process of forgiving. It's been such a blessing, but go ahead. You want
to
share?
If you want to talk to us individually, his phone number is 313-221-7600. My phone number is 313-221-7601. I am Danielle Dorsey.
And I'm Jose Dorsey. Thank you for joining us with another Theologically Speaking. May God bless you and God keep you.
From North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm gonna sing this song here. My, my, my.